It's good to see each one of you tonight. Glad that you're here. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, our brother is, we estimate, to be the fourth of the 12 minor prophets into the divided kingdom. Brother Micah is prophesying in the days of two kings before Hezekiah and in that time of the demise of the kingdom of Israel, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. In that, they've seen Assyria come down and do their work. We surmise from that Israel, or the divided kingdoms, having looked to Egypt and will look to Egypt for help, but Assyria seems to be the dominant force, at least in that day. There's nothing that compares to them. There's just nothing that compares to Assyria. We remember the time there where Assyria comes down in the days of Hezekiah, Sennacherib, and he comes down. He sends his generals over there in the speech, the oratory that one of the generals gives there into the leadership, the court of the king. And he says there plainly, no other nation has been able to resist us. We have no expectation that you or your God will be able to resist us. And of course, we find that the Lord does something different there, because the Lord does cause that king even to be murdered by his own sons when he gets back home. But Assyria is the power. But Micah has been speaking about a ruler, a judge, that's going to come. And again, these things are, this prophecy is rolled into events that are going to be coming sooner. But then also, we believe that it's events that will be completely and totally fulfilled later in the end times. And so, some of the things that have been said, we see in Micah chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Hear ye all people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. Let the Lord God be witness against you, and the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down, and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft, or split, as wax before the fire. And we see that, understand that picture. And as the waters that are poured down a steep place, they just roll on down. And of course, we understand that, that's the topography over there in the land of Israel has not been changed. But one day it will be changed, as we I pointed out some passages to you about what the Lord says. Micah 2:12, speaking about this ruler, this king, this governor. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. And so he says he's going to do that. Verse 13, the breaker is come up before them. And we gave consideration about that word breaker, or that person. It seems to be a person. They have broken up. They have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Our best estimation is that this one that's referred to as the breaker is the one that's their deliverer, their prosperer, the one that makes them to increase and abound. And he goes on before them, and in the place, this reference to Bozrah, together as the sheep of Bozrah, he causes them so to prosper that where they're at, it just can't contain them. That's what we seem to understand from that. It seems that that's the best explanation. Then in the last chapter that we looked at, in Micah 4, and verse number 3, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation. Now that's power, to invoke that peace. That is power. Neither shall they learn war anymore. No more war budget for any nation. It's not allowed. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God in the way that they see fit. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever. And I believe that's Brother Micah testifying about the things that he's seen, what the Lord's shown him, and that walking, he, those that love the Lord and have been saved by the Lord will walk in his name forever. Verse number 12 of the same chapter, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves unto the floor. And that's speaking about the judgment that he will bring. So these things have been mentioned about the ruler, the king, the governor, the judge. And so we come to chapter 5 and we hear more about him. We hear something referred to in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And so let's read here in chapter 5. May the Lord help us with this. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. A call to gather together when there, as we've seen and we saw earlier in the book, that there was no strength, no ability to do so. But we understand, it seems indeed true, that he will give them strength. And he speaks about this in other places in the scripture. Gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. You know, they've made their own defense, the bad leaders of the kingdom of Israel and the bad leaders of Judah have tried to stand against the foe. The kings have tried to conspire against the kings over them. And it came to naught. It came to naught. It ultimately brought Nebuchadnezzar down on Zedekiah. And the awful thing that they did in killing his sons before his eyes and then gouging out his eyes and taking him to Babylon. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. They will cause him injury. I wonder about this, and I think about this. I wonder if it's not relative to what's been said about what the Savior, what the Messiah would do from the beginning. In Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to Satan, and between thy seed and her seed, to the serpent that Satan possessed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so there was injury to the Lord. He did die. He did give his life. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. There are those that think that this could be certainly referenced to those by the enemies of Judah and the enemies of Israel, that they were overtaken, that they were treated badly by those nations that the Lord brought to chastise them and overtake them. As we mentioned about Zedekiah there in the kingdom of Judah. But thou, verse number 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel. It's from this passage that the wise men or the soothsayers in Herod's day knew the birthplace of the Messiah. Come forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel. He will be smitten. He'll be chased. He'll be looked to be put to death. He'll be discounted. He will suffer. He did. And he even died. But what's it say here? whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Because he is a man, and as a man, he suffered, he ultimately suffered, bled, and died. He came meek and lowly. He came and bore our diseases. He bore our transgressions, our infirmities. But he is God. And he has the power to do the impossible. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. And I think that's, I wonder if that's not speaking about the time that the Savior, the Son of God, became a man. Israel, Judah, Israel fell, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah both fell, went into captivity, and the return of them to the land was a blessing indeed, but it paled in comparison to what the former glory had been. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. From a remnant, he will take and cause them to be a blessing to the nation. I think that this is connected. I wonder if this is not connected with when the Lord came in his ministry. He came in his ministry and he took the Word of God. He took the Old Testament scriptures that they had and explained about himself. He explained and told about the purpose of the things in the Old Testament. It's revealed even more by the writings of the apostles and those things that the Lord laid upon the hearts of those brethren that reveal wondrous things unto us. He gave them up in the time that she which travaileth had brought forth, and then he went to work. He'd been working, but he came and began to work in person. And the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. There'll be a desire. The apostles were first sent to the lost sheep of the nation of Israel. And they worked on them. And then the gospel, after the resurrection, the full purpose of God was revealed, of the Lord Jesus was revealed, and he told them to go into all the world. But those 12, even the apostle Paul, were very sensitive to carry that word to return unto the children of Israel. Salvation has come by the Messiah that was promised. Brother Zechariah testified this about Brother John the Baptist, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that people prepared for the Lord, they heard the Lord, they received the Lord, they were saved by the Lord, and what is it? They had a desire for their own people. Not a nation that had been so separated and scattered, and they held on to an element of their Judaism and that, but now Christ has come, and the redemption of the Lord was seen and heard by many. He visited them again, and he has visited us. And he shall stand, verse 4, and feed in the strength of the Lord. This one that is told about in verse number 2, a ruler. Stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. He's the great shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He stands and feeds. That's what he did in his ministry. That's what he did with his first church. That's what he does with his churches. It's what he did with the apostles. And he does so in the strength of the Lord and the strength of Jehovah. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And that's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah in his humanity. He was faithful. He was faithful to the Father in everything. And that faithfulness, that calling was to come and deliver his people and redeem the nation back to him, to God. and they shall abide. What is all this prophecy and these prophecies of the 12 telling about? You're not going to abide in your land. You're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have any place. You're not going to be settled because you send it all away. And they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. He already is. There's no name more. There's no name known more than Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, even amongst the heathen. And for the last two millennia. But that's going to be evidenced and shown forth even more in days to come. The great shepherd of the sheep, standing and feeding his own, and working the work and plan of God to bring back his nation and bring deliverance, bring permanent deliverance. Zerubbabel went back and built the temple, but they got taken off again. They got taken off again and were dispersed in 70 AD, and they've been that way since until recent times. You know, again, this passage just speaks more and more about to these things in Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. I mean, it just tells it. It sums it. Because in verse number 5, we see there in Micah 5, and this man shall be the peace. Not he'll bring it. Oh yeah, he brings it because he is the peace. And think about that. If there's peace to be had, peace among nations, peace among ethnicities, peace in families, peace in souls with God, He brings peace. He is the peacemaker in every case and respect. There's no one like him. He is the peace. He shall be the peace. When the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Now there's several thoughts about this, but I'm of the opinion for the day of Brother Micah, the greatest power that was known was the Assyrian power. And the Assyrians are long gone. That nation, that kingdom was destroyed. They've been dispersed. They may be manifested and in part in other nations and such. But I think what is being conveyed, I wonder if what's not being conveyed here is the Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, he will be the peace. Even when the greatest power will come against us and come right in here and tread right in here where we're at. They will raise up an answer, a defense, and a stand against them by the working of the Lord to defend them, to deliver them. In regards to this peace, you know, it testifies to us, the scripture does in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them has travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Though there is and there will be a day when that's going to be the cry from the civil government of the world, or the dictator government of the world, however it will be. But when they do so, destruction is right around the door, because they bring a false peace. It's never a true peace. And our Lord Jesus, in regards to him being the peace, in Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 17, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the hatred thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, we Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Jews." He's the peacemaker that will keep the peace, and no one will thwart it. And when the highest and the greatest power would come to stand against, like we understand, we believe that it will be against Jerusalem in that those final days before the millennia, even when the world comes against them, he will have his deliverance. Seven shepherds and eight principal men. It's not necessarily, there are those that try to pick out and understand maybe some of the prophets, some of the apostles, and from the standpoint of they being used of the Lord to bring the word of God that brings the telling of the prophecy and the deliverance of the Lord, that could be a possibility, but there's no way to know who these are. I'm of the opinion that it's that the Lord will cause by his power a defense for his nation and for his people that cannot be withstood. "And they shall waste, verse number 6, "and they shall waste the land of Assyria," this power that comes against the Lord's nation and people, "with the sword. And the land of Nimrod," what is that? That's a reference all the way back to this side of the flood. The place where the Tower of Babel was constructed, that which became Babylon, if we understand it correctly, where the Lord confounded the nations. No evil, no thing against, no one, no great power will be able to stand against the Lord, against his ruler. "And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword." These ones that the Lord would raise up. "And the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. Thus shall he," so you see it comes back to him, "deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders." See, to tell the people in Micah's day that there would be a defense that Assyria could not fight against would be a big wow. And that's what he's telling. There'll be nothing that'll be able to stand against this one that'll come from Bethlehem. "And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord." And when the dew sets, it's just all over, isn't it, in a region. "The remnant of Jacob, the Israelites, they'll be in the midst of many people as the dew from the Lord, scattered as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men." It does it. We can't stop it. "And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles," which we understand, "in the midst of many people, but will be as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion amongst the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down, teareth in pieces, and none can deliver." Remember how in chapter 1 or chapter 2, there was that seemingly play on words. You know, let the people out of the strong house come up and be strong. There was no strength. Let the one that can, that is to stand, you know, in the reference there was the name of the city was clear, was near in pronunciation to being a reference to stand. But there's nobody to stand. Here, he's going to cause them to stand. He's going to cause them to be able to defeat. He's going to cause them to be able to do his work. See, I think it's certainly connected back to what the Lord told them in the beginning, in Leviticus. Leviticus 26, verses 6 through 9. And I will give peace in the land. He said that to the Israelites about Canaan. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. That's just one verse that tells about the strength that the Lord promised his nation to be conquerors. This man shall be the peace. Though the greatest power come into our land, comes right up into the palaces, there'll be a raising up against them that they will not be able to withstand. Their land back home will be laid waste with the sword. Even to the place, the cradle of civilization, there will be none that will be able to stand. He will deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be all over in the midst of all the inhabitants of the earth, and they will have strength and power by the Lord. He'll deliver them. Verse 9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. Again, the play on words earlier in the book, that it's been, you know, he it's kind of a pressing of them to the, what sin has done to them. They're not able to be strong. They have a city that's named to be strong. They're not able to stand. They're not able to muster up a resistance. And then to tell such a people that they will be able to by this leader, by this ruler. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. As we read in the previous chapter in verses 6 and 7, in that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth. I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. The world's going to see that the Lord's people put down and used, even the Lord using the world, using other nations to chastise them. He's going to show that his love is upon them, and they are going to prevail through him. It's going to be. In Deuteronomy, Brother Moses, he preaches there to that generation going into the promised land. And he says in verse number 30 of Deuteronomy 32, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? How could that even be? Except the rock had sold them, had sold out the enemy, and the Lord had shut them up. He caused the enemy to not be able to prevail one bit against his people. Same kind of thing. Same kind of deliverance. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. Learn war no more. Once the deliverance is done, once this might is expressed, once this deliverance by the Savior is salvation, just like he says in Zechariah, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. They're not going to learn and study war anymore. That's the end of it. Because this man shall be the peace. I will cut off horses of the midst of thee. I will destroy thy chariots. Verse 11, and I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. All that stuff's going to be done. Nobody's going to be able to pursue necromancy or anything like that. It's going to be done. The Lord is going to be worshipped, and wickedness is going to be put away. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, verse 12, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And we saw that the Lord was going to accomplish that in their captivity. And what we saw in our study of the book of Hosea in chapter 3 of Hosea, verses 4 through 5, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice. Those things having to do with the civil government, the religious worship and stuff, without an image, not going to be any idols, without an ephod, not going to have the order of the priesthood, without teraphim, not going to be hearing anything from the Lord. It's going to be silent other than the word that he's given. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord for his goodness in the latter days. Verse 14 of Micah 5, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy cities. All those things dedicated, all those things that Solomon built that we looked into and read about when the transgression of Jacob and how that started, all that stuff's going to be taken away. It's been taken away. I will execute vengeance, verse number 15, in anger and fury upon the heathen. And when you see that word heathen, the meaning of that word heathen is the godless, the unbelieving, the unrepentant, those that do not follow and cleave unto the Lord. They're godless. They follow false gods. They follow their own will and way. He said he's going to execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen. He's going to do so such as they have not heard. It's never been seen before. In Zephaniah, we saw in verse chapter 1 of that book, in verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The voice of the day of the Lord. That voice of the day of the Lord speaks from his word. Anytime that the Bible and those passages, those chapters, those books that speak about that voice of that day of the Lord's coming, people read it. Preachers declare it. It has a voice, and it's coming. It's hurrying. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. And for the Lord's children, we're there beholding what the Lord's doing, having been rescued and saved from that. That day is not focused upon the redeemed, upon his children, upon the saved. There is that those Israelites will experience and go through and until the Lord comes back and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, saves them and delivers them. But as a whole, the children of God for the millennia will behold what our Lord does in making good his promise in this day of wrath and judgment upon the unbelieving and the unrepentant. Out of Bethlehem, can one man that came out of Bethlehem do that? He sure can. When he's the God-man, when he's God incarnate, God in the flesh, like John told us in chapter 1, the Word was made flesh. And he's come and purchased our salvation, and one day he's going to come, deliver his nation, and he's going to judge the wicked. If you're here and you're not saved, we don't want you to be a part of that judgment of the wicked. We can't change that for you, but I tell you what, we tell you about the one that can, the one that can deliver you. And some of this, you know, you and I, we are so blessed in living in this nation. Very few of us, I mean, very, very few of us this have seen the destruction and the decimation of what war does. It's foreign to us. And I think in the case of some where these things are read, these things are declared, I think that there's an attitude and a thinking that just can't be. That's just so incredible that just could never be. But that's not true. It will be. It will be. And don't be found as an enemy of the Lord. Repent. Believe and trust in him. Receive Christ Jesus, as the scripture says, and trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection. He'll be the one that'll be doing these things. And we want you to be delivered from them. Brother John the Baptist declared it. He said, flee the wrath to come. It's coming. The wrath is coming. The wrath of God is coming. Flee it. Run from it. Flee into Christ. Repent and believe and trust in him.